God for all of you who support this ministry. Because this ministry isn't just about us that are in these four walls. This ministry is about taking God's word out to the world, being able to reach people that we may never see. We may never know. We may never see what effects this ministry has. But I want to thank each and every one of you who support the ministry, those on webcast who support the ministry that have never even been within these four walls other than tuning in on the webcast. We appreciate the support that your donations give to help us take God's word out. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for all those who support this ministry. God, and we just ask that you continue to bless them. Continue, Lord, not just financially, but in every area of their life. Lord, we ask that you continue to let your blessings fall upon them. Continue to let your blessings flow. And God, there are some that say, there's nothing I can do. I can't support financially. Support us with your prayers. Lord, help them touch their hearts, that they support us with the prayers. And then, Lord, touch their finances so that they might be able to support the ministry financially. And God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. Hopefully that won't come back. Now I have to start out by saying, other than my voice, this sounded a little rough here. Y'all pray for me. I can't speak for you or for anybody else. I can only speak for myself when I say that I believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And I believe it to be truth. Now, I didn't say I believe it to be true. I believe it to be truth. Because there are a lot of things that you can find that are true, but they're not truth. So I believe that the KJV is truth. And I don't see anywhere between Genesis 1 and 1 and Revelation 22 and 21, I don't see anything about a bang. But what I do see is in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, it says here that the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And when I look at that, I see chaos. And chaos is used to describe an environment in total disarray. Complete disorder, confusion. And when you look at the fact that the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, I'd call that chaos. But God brings order to chaos. And if you notice here, before God even spoke, in verse 2 it says, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Before God spoke, the Spirit was moving. And we have to look at our life and how if we allow God, he will replace the darkness in our life with light. He will replace the emptiness with life. And he will replace the confusion with beauty. God is a God who brings beauty out of chaos. He brings life out of chaos. And this morning, I want to talk about after the chaos. Y'all bear with me just a minute. Yeah, this hacking thing is not good. So Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Bible opens up with God. Before there was a creation, there was a God. Before there was man, there was God. Before there was anything, there was God. And God's creation started out of chaos. And like I said earlier, when I read between Genesis 1 and 1 and Revelation 22 and 21, I don't care what scientists say. I don't care what astronomers say. I am not buying into a Big Bang theory. What I'm buying into is God said. What I'm buying into, his Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. That's what brought this world out of chaos. This, you know, it didn't start where a Big Bang and a star hit and it exploded and, you know, came in. No. Nobody but God. God moved on the face of the deep. And you have to look at this situation here, how even though the world was without form or void, and chaos was evident everywhere, the Spirit still moved. And when you look at the scripture, you can see that God's first recorded work was bringing order into chaos. We can apply that to our life today. He hasn't stopped bringing order into chaos. Now, I don't think there's anybody in here that can say, I've never had chaos in my life. We've all experienced chaos, regardless of what that chaos is. But as a believer, we can have faith and trust in knowing that regardless of what the chaos is that comes in our life, that God will bring order. God will make a way. And, you know, as I said, chaos isn't something that happened a long time ago. But chaos is an everyday occurrence in somebody's life. It may not be in your life, it may not be in my life, but it's going to be in somebody's life. Chaos is going to be out there. And the same God that transformed the chaos in the beginning, he is the same God that transforms the chaos in our life today. We just have to be able to be willing to allow him to come into these broken lives. He's still transforming lives. And I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors are coming to take my sons to be bondsmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And then I want to read 2 Corinthians in case I don't get a chance to get to it. Chapter 4, starting with verse 8. This is Paul speaking. And he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So let's go back to 2 Kings. And this widow woman came to the prophet, and she began to tell him everything that was going on, all the chaos that was going on in her life. But what I found to be interesting was, before a miracle could happen, there had to be some chaos. So sometimes we get to crying about the chaos that's going on in our life. Oh, Lord, why is it me? Lord, why am I going through? Lord, why? We need to understand that if we didn't go through, if we didn't have a need, then there would be no need for God to give us a miracle. There would be no need for God to deliver us. So it's not about why is this happening to me or why am I going through. But we need the chaos. We need the crisis. Because when we don't have a crisis or chaos in our life, we think it's all about us. I can do it. I can make my own way. Can you remember being young? I mean real young. And you used to think, I can't wait till I get grown, because when I get grown, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to take care of that, I'm going to do all that I want to do. When the reality of it is, we didn't think about, we got bills. We didn't think about having to get up and go to work. We're complaining about going to school. At least at school, you got recess or PE. But now we go to work. We got to make that money. We got to pay them bills. And so here, we have to realize that if we do not have chaos in our life, we don't have a place for God to move for us. Now, that's not saying that we want to live with chaos, because I know, Lord knows, I don't want to. But it helps me to understand that when I do have chaos, I know who to look to. So here she came, the widow woman, crying to the prophet. And she was experiencing chaos on every level. Emotionally, her husband had died. Financially, she was drowning in debt. Family, they were getting ready to take her sons and make them slaves. And spiritually, why has this happened to me? We fit that scenario in our life. We have loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord or gone on. We have financial crisis where it seems like the money that we make is not keeping up with the money that we spend. In some cases, we just need to check ourselves, okay? Bring it back. We have family chaos. Our kids are acting like they were not raised in our house. Our kids are acting like they have a mind of their own. They can't wait to get out there. But reality will set in at some point in time. And then we have that spiritual chaos. Why me? Susie Q over here. Everything is going good for her. I mean, her money's flowing. She got a nice car. Their house is big. And here I am struggling. And I'm trying to live for God. So we all face those challenges with chaos. But we have to get to the point, unlike the widow woman, she was more focused in on what she had lost, what she was about to lose. But we do the same thing. We focus in on what we've lost, what we're going to lose, when we need to be focusing in on Jesus. And that's exactly what Elijah directed her. He said, okay, what do you have in your house? Here we go again. I have nothing except. That was all she needed. We have nothing except a little bit of faith. Well, if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we can get God to move for us. We have nothing left but a little bit of prayer. Okay. If we begin to talk to God and we cultivate that relationship with Him through prayer, we get to know more about who He is and what He will do. And that will increase our faith. That will increase us learning how to trust Him more, for Him to be able to move in our chaos so that we don't have to see after the chaos, there's more chaos. No. After the chaos, there comes a miracle and God is working. God begins His miracles with accept. All I have is a little bit. He doesn't need a whole lot. In fact, He doesn't need anything that we have. He just wants us to bring something to the playing field. And if we would take that little that we have, that accept that we have, and take it to Him and allow Him to move in our behalf, our chaos will change. So she said, I have nothing except a little bit of oil. And the prophet of God said, okay, gather you vessels. Now you would think, a little bit of oil and gather vessels. How often do we tell God this little bit that we have and He tells us to do thus and thus and so, and we don't understand, so we don't move forward? Can you imagine if she had thought, oh, well, all I have is this oil, and why does He want me to go get these empty vessels? Nah, I'm not going to send my sons. No, that would be useless. We find useless sometimes in our life. You know, it's, for me, there are times when I go to pastor, and I just tell him, baby, I miss God again. I heard Him tell me thus and so, and I just didn't move quick enough. And it's not that I didn't move at all. I just didn't move quick enough. Am I the only one? Thank you. But here, the prophet told her, okay, go gather these vessels, and then go into your house and close the doors. I tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. Being obedient to God's word, that can take us so far. That can take us farther than we can take ourselves. That can take us farther than anybody, our loved ones, can take us. That can take us farther than our money, our job, or any materialistic thing that we have by being obedient to God, being obedient to his word, understanding what his word is. And she was obedient. So she sent her sons out to the neighbors. They went and they gathered the vessels. And I found it interesting because a lot of times we think an empty vessel is nothing. But in this case, the empty vessel was not her enemy. Emptiness in our life is not our enemy. If we get to the point where we can empty out ourselves and become an empty vessel, God can fill us. God can use us. But we have to be willing to be that empty vessel. Sometimes the chaos in our life, it leaves us empty. And like I said, that's a ripe time for God to come in and fill us. That's a ripe time for him to come in and take that emptiness out of our life and fill us with more of him. So they went, her sons went out, they got the vessels. She began to fill the vessels. Remember, she started out, she had just a little bit of oil. Now, I'm measuring that, you know, the scripture doesn't give us a measure, but I'm going, a little bit, or even a little bit, or even a little bit. But whatever the quantity of the oil that she had, it was nothing compared to the empty vessels that were now sitting in her house. But she began to pour out as the man of God told her. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured. And I can just imagine her pouring and pouring more. When she started to pour, well, let me put it this way. Before she started to pour, she had no idea of the miracle that was getting ready to happen. But she was obedient. Before we are obedient to what God has told us, we need to realize something is going to happen because of our obedience. Does that make sense? If we're obedient to do what God has said he's going to do, okay, something's going to happen. Whatever that something is. And she began to pour. All she had was a word from God. Send your sons out. Go get the vessels. Begin to pour. And see what happens. Sometimes that's all we have, is a word from God. But we have to move on that word from God. We have to be obedient to that word. And as I said, I read that scripture over in 2 Corinthians. You have to imagine, this woman was troubled. She was perplexed. She was cast down. She could have quit at any time. And that's how we are in our life. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We are cast down. But what's good, as Paul was saying, we don't have to stay there. We don't have to quit. We don't have to throw up our hands and give up. Because we know, although we may be troubled, we're not crushed. We may be perplexed. We're not in despair. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. And the reason is because as a believer, we have Jesus. As a believer, he's already conquered all of these things for us. All we have to do is walk in them. There is life after chaos. There is light after chaos. We don't have to live our life with our head hung down, going, woe is me, downtrodden. But we can have that life that the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep, knowing that although, you know, sometimes we think, well, I haven't heard from God. We think silence is a bad thing. Well, as I mentioned earlier, when I read over in Genesis, before God spoke anything, the Spirit was moving. So although we may not be hearing anything, we need to be trusting that the Spirit is moving in our life. And if we believe that the Spirit is moving, we know there's something coming after chaos. So when you look at, after she had filled up all the vessels, and she turned to her son and she said, give me another vessel. And he said, there are no more. All the vessels that they had were full. However, that little bitty piece of oil that she started out with, come on, y'all. Y'all don't hear me. That little bit of oil that she started out with was still flowing, was still going on. That little bitty piece of peace or whatever it is that you have in your life, if you are obedient to what God is saying, if we are obedient to his word, it's going to keep flowing. You know, we may think, well, I started out with just a little bit of prayer. I started out with 5 minutes of prayer. Well, before we know it, we moved up to 15, 30, 45, an hour. And then you got to look back and go, where did this come from? That little bit of oil that she had filled all the vessels, and she still had some. And this is what I really like. I know. Sometimes I read God's word, I just get tickled because it is just so good. You know, I had a friend, this has been 40 plus years ago, and we were talking about the Bible. And she said, yes, I've read the Bible. It's a well-written piece of literature. I went, oh, no, you didn't read my Bible. Because my Bible, there's spirit and there is life in it. It's not about being, oh, but it does flow really good. I mean, some of them, it'd be like, where did that come from? Nobody but the Holy Ghost. But we just have to let God's word flow through us. And what I was saying, what I really like, what just kind of tickled me, when she went back to the man of God, he told her in verse 7, he said, go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. She started out with chaos. She moved to obedience. She got to provision. And then she landed in restoration. Can you stop right there for a minute? Think about salvation. We start out as sinners. We start out in chaos. But when we're obedient to God's word, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we accept the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross for our sins, and we're obedient, and then we move into provision, that he will supply all of my need according to his riches. It's not about how hard I work, how much man pays me, but it's all about his provision, his supply that he has for my life. And then he told her, you and your kids live off the rest. I thought, ooh, that sounds like eternity to me. Maybe I just look at eternity all the time. But that sounds like eternity to me. That he's telling me that now I have supplied all of your needs. I have met the provisions that you have need of down here on earth. But the time is coming when I'm going to bust those clouds wide open. And when I bust those clouds wide open, I'm going to say, come up hither. And I'm getting ready to go up hither. Eternity. You know, we don't have to just stop at the chaos. There is life after the chaos. God meets our immediate need, and he provides for our future into eternity. And all this is done by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The debt was paid just as the oil paid the debt for her and her sons. Jesus paid our debt. And the scripture says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. When she paid off the debt for her sons, they were no more in bondage. They had no more fear of being in bondage. They were now free. When Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sins, guess what? He made us free. And we can be free indeed. And then, and I have to do this quickly, in closing, you know, Genesis started out with darkness upon the face of the earth. But Revelation ends with the city made of gold. We started out in chaos in Genesis, but after that chaos, there's a city waiting for us. It's coming down like a bride adorned before her husband. He's bringing it down for us to live in. He's provided us this golden city where we're not going to need the sun and the moon because he is the light. We are not going to need hospitals and funeral homes and because he is the life. That is the after chaos that every believer has to look forward to. That is the after chaos that as we're walking through chaotic times down here, and when we look at what's going on, not just in our nation, but in the world, we are living in chaotic times. And if we do not get a hold of Jesus, if we do not look to him to see that there is something better for us, we are definitely going to perish. But there is life after chaos. And that life is in Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm hoping that we can get to a place that when we get to the end, we can see that although we've been persecuted, we're not forsaken. Although we've been cast down, we're not destroyed. You know, I was thinking about, yeah, I really got to close, but I'll share this one last thing with you all. I sometimes watch UFC fighting, but I watch it like this. You know, I got to watch it through my fingers because it's just too violent. But there have been times when there was a fighter and he was down on the bottom. And I'm watching like this. And it seems like, I mean, he's getting plummeted and beat and beat. And then all of a sudden, he gets up. And not only does he get up, he gets up and he turns it around and he wins the fight. I tell you, we need to be like that. When we're getting plummeted with everything that life is throwing on us, we need to get up and realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because we can take it, but we can only take it through Jesus. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the provisions that you are providing for us. After the chaos, we know you provide life, light, provisions, eternity. Everything is provided through you. And God, I just ask that you continue to help us to see you for who you truly are. Continue to help us, Lord, to be able to just move closer and closer to you. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Wow. I hope you guys took notes from that sermon because that was beautiful. Can we give it up for Jesus? He said chaos, obedience, provision, and restoration. Praise God. All right, so we have a few announcements. We just ask that you would just remember to support the ministry through your giving. Thank you again for those of you who were able to make it to Ignite Prayer. Again, remember for next month, it's from 7 to 9 and not 10 to 12. So we did change the time. So 7 to 9 for Ignite Prayer. And if there's nothing else, we will go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the word that was provided on today after the chaos. And God, we just ask that you would just take this word, that you would embed it in our hearts and in our minds and allow it to become action, Lord, as we leave out of this building. Help us to not leave the same way that we came in. And God, we just ask that we would be obedient to your word. And we know that when we are obedient, God, you multiply the things that you have given us, Lord. So we thank you in advance for what you're doing in each of us individually. But we know that what we're doing and what you're doing in us individually, Lord, is for the church and for the body of Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, that restoration is coming. We thank you that the day where we will spend eternity with you is coming, and we don't take that for granted. So God, we are so grateful for you, Lord, and this word that you have given Sister Lincoln. We just pray that you would pour right back into her what she has poured out to each and every one of us. So God, we love you and we honor you. God, we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.